broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is the broadcast for January the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2022. There's so much hard-hitting news, it's shocking. It's to the point where I don't even know how to cover it all. And it just seems to be more and more and more. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Headline, the majority of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in New Jersey were actually admitted for reasons other than COVID-19, officials said on January the 10th. I kid you not, this is real. Of the 6,075, quote, people with COVID-19 and hospitalized in the state, just 2,963 were admitted for COVID-19. New Jersey Health Commissioner Judith Persicilli said during a briefing. So let me get this straight. You got 6,075 people. And you don't even have 50% of them. 2,963 have what's called incidental COVID. That's the new term being used for this. It's called incidental COVID. And you go into the hospital because you have a broken leg. You go into the hospital for whatever reason. I got a bladder infection. I'm dizzy. Who knows? But they literally for 2 years told us, hey, there's so many COVID hospitalizations. It's just melting hospitals down. Now we find out in the state of New York and the state of New Jersey that it's less than 50% literally there because of COVID. So they've been lying to you with 50% on average wrong numbers for 2 years. And now they're finally admitting it. And when you add that reality to the 800,000 deaths from COVID, you go, what? Yeah, 75% of them have more than four comorbidities. And then when you add this 50% reality to it, well, 600,000 died because they had four or more comorbidities. They were seriously ill anyway. Whether COVID brought them over the brink or not, don't know. Whether they just died, one of the comorbidities it caused in conjunction with adding fuel to the fire, if you will, or complications and they pass away. Their lives matter. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not like we were told not even close. Now you have 200,000 left that have died. So the next question is what percentage then, if 50% of the hospitals that are claimed to be there for COVID really aren't, they're there for something else and just happen to have COVID, what percent of deaths were there in relation to this as well? How many people died and didn't really die because of COVID, but because they had COVID, that was put on the death certificate, huh? Well, there's a lot of people quizzing down. Michelle Walensky and Anthony Fauci and some of these goons, but they won't answer. They're all vague and they avoid the question. They say, well, it's difficult to answer that. It's a scientific, science is moving so quickly and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. So what percent of the people now really are going into the hospital for COVID? Whatever number they've given us, it's half that on the average. Now, it might be different in certain states. We haven't done a whole across-the-board studies, but we've done enough in New York and New Jersey to really know now. It's about 50%. So when they tell you the hospitals are just melting down because COVID patients and it's all the unvaxxed, they're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. Because what percent now then, we got to ask this, what percent of the 50% went into the hospital for other reasons and which went in for really COVID issues, what percent really were vaxxed versus not vaxxed? And what does vaxxed versus not vaxxed mean? If I took one shot, am I vaxxed? No. What if I took two shots? Well, I'm fully vaxxed but not boosted. What? Okay, where do we go? How? What does this mean? And the answer is they don't know. They've been throwing dishonest numbers at you for literally two whole years. And they're the ones that are supposed to have credibility now? Can you really discuss this with a straight face? All right. How many cases of coronavirus are there in each U.S. state? Because now you got to ask yourself the question. When they run these huge numbers, right? You believe these people are really sick. But it's not even true. Right? Coronavirus by the numbers. Right? Where do we go with this? All right, they say total U.S. cases, 60,090,400. So just over 60 million positive tests. How many of those positive tests are people that are really sick or not? Because if you test positive, but you're not sick, they call you asymptomatic. But the truth is the test may be wrong. So we're going to question that number big time. Right? What does that mean? Now they say U.S. deaths. Total 837,000. 661. Well, we know three quarters of them have four or more comorbidities already. Doesn't mean that their lives don't matter. Now, here's what they say. This is interesting. Listen. Some states have scaled back how often they report new data. So we don't even know how accurate this is because they say the daily averages are seven-day averages. But not if a bunch of states aren't reporting very often. Okay? They say over 800,000 have died of COVID-19. We don't know that. How do we know that? Now, I'm going to take Utah just because I'm so familiar with my state. In Utah, 682,036 have tested positive for the COCO. What's that, about one-fifth of the state? One-sixth, 15-20% range? 3,800 have died. But if you're going to say 50% of them are in the hospital under wrong pretenses, we claim they were there because of COVID, and well, it turned out they're not there because of COVID. What does that look like? How many deaths then? If you're going to do the half again, you're at maybe 2,000 deaths at best over 2 years. That's no different than the pneumonia, ladies and gentlemen, the common flu. No different at all. But they spent so much time telling us it was way different, didn't they? Oh, it was so different. It was a massive pandemic. But then you got to start to ask yourself this. How many died from the vaccines? Well, according to the SARS database, it's 20,000 plus. But if you do some of the studies from the academia world, it's 20 times that, 400,000. Well, now you literally may have as many dying from the vaccines as you have dying from the COVID, ladies and gentlemen. And you can say, Sam, you're wildly extrapolating numbers here. You've made some wild egg guesses on this, baby. You know, you're not scientific at all. And these people who have been telling you for 2 years about the hospitalizations, overwhelming hospitals, literally, you know, hey, it's a meltdown. We've never seen a crisis like this in the country. And then we find out they're 50% off on their numbers. And you're going to say my numbers are a wild egg guess, but their numbers are scientific. You've lost that credibility battle too now, haven't you? Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. The vast majority of Americans, regardless of political party now, say that American society and culture are in decline. That's according to a new poll from the Trafalgar Group and Convention of States Action. Now, I'm against a convention of the states, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Let me be very clear. I am against a convention of the states. I don't believe that's the answer at all. because I don't believe that you have any control of how off the rails it goes. The delegates will basically insert themselves and do whatever they want, and you and I won't be able to control the delegates. You think the delegates are going to be people like Ron Paul, Sam Bushman, you know, Kate Daly, you know, some of these trusted people? Or are they going to be the Dick Armies of the world? Yeah, you think it's going to be a Rand Paul or the other whacked out senator from Kentucky, huh? You think it's going to be a Mike Lee, or do you think it's going to be a Mitt Romney at the helm of a con, huh? The poll found, believe it or not, that 76.8% of respondents believe U.S. society is in a state of decay. I believe that, do you? With just 9.8% saying society and culture are in a state of, quote, progress. And 13.4% say they're unsure. Believe it or not, the skepticism was for all political leanings, with 61% of Democrats and 85% of Republicans saying U.S. society and culture is in decline. Let's come back and talk more about it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business on your radio.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Wow, I don't even know how to respond to this news. It's just, wow. The vast majority of Americans, regardless of political parties, now say that American society and culture are in decline. That's according to a poll from the Trafalgar Group. And then they say, and the Convention of the States action. Now, I'm against the Convention of the States. Clearly so, ladies and gentlemen. They say the poll found that 76.8% of Americans or respondents believe that U.S. society and culture are in a state of decay. I agree with them. It is in a state of decay. But I would disagree with what the I don't know what you want to call it, purveyors of this study would conclude, what they would do is they would say, well, we need a convention of the states to solve the problem. You could tell people aren't happy with the decline in society, and we got to rearrange our affairs. We got to rearrange the affairs of the nation to deal with this. I couldn't disagree with that more. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe at all that what we need to do is have a convention of the states. And that's a sad part about when we quote a truism like this, sponsored by a group with an agenda, right? The convention of the states doing this poll, if I agree with the poll, then do I agree with their remedy? And the answer is clearly no. All right. The convention of states action, I don't agree with them at all, even though I do agree with the state of decline of the nation. I think they're going about it all the wrong way, personally. Right? I think they're going about it absolutely in the wrong way. The wrong way big time, right? But, you know, how do you deal with that? I think most people are starting to become for a convention of the states, feeling like there's no other options. And I get that fear-based position, but I don't think it's the answer either. All right? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is to return to what made America great. And what people will say to me is, Sam, we've already tried that to no avail. Doesn't work. Sadly, it's hard to disagree with their points. But I submit to you that there is a way forward. And it's what you don't want to hear, though. You got to have a moral and a religious people. You got to turn to God Almighty. You got to turn to the author of your liberty and keep his commandments if you want him to protect and bless you. There is no other way. Because I ask all of you, who is the author of your liberty? Is it government? I say it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I say it's Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ of the New. Same person. Son of Almighty God. Granter of life through the resurrection, eternal life. Granter of liberty via the commandments of God that he set forth. If ye love me, keep my commandments, says the Savior Jesus Christ. If we love liberty, then we love him. If we love him, we, by nature, love liberty. The two are inseparable. Jesus Christ is the author of freedom. He was raised from the dead. He created the, limitless atonement for the purpose of liberating the captive, freeing those who would be slave to sin, right? Okay, you cannot separate the two. A convention of the states is not the answer. A wicked people through a convention of the states will just promote more wickedness. A righteous people can turn to God and use the checks and balances in the greatest system ever devised among men for the governing of a free people. Okay, those checks and balances are the key. Returning to what made America great is the answer. But we've got to start with rejecting a lie and telling the truth. Right? Wow. All right, now, Anthony Fauci is a whack job. I'm telling you right now, the guy's a nut. Anthony Fauci called Kansas Senator Roger Marshall a moron during Tuesday's, that's yesterday's, hearing on the coronavirus. Marshall, by the way, who is also a doctor, questioned Fauci as to whether Fauci should have a, quote, publicly available financial disclosure form like other witnesses do. And there was a battle that ensued. So Fauci mixed it up with Rand Paul yesterday or whatever else. Now mixing it up with another Senate doctor. All right, you got that clip, Cameron? This is the deal. Here's the exchange.
My financial disclosures are public knowledge, and have been so. You are getting amazingly wrong information.
So I cannot find them. Our office cannot find them. Where would they be if they're public knowledge? Where?
It is totally accessible to you if you want it.
For the public. Is it accessible to the public?
To the public.
Great. We look forward to reviewing it.
You are totally incorrect.
Well, we look forward to reviewing it.
Senator Marshall, Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask. Senator Moran.
What a moron.
Chairwoman, thank you. I know this has been...
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Literally, Anthony Fauci says, what a moron, to this other doctor, to this other senator, doctor and senator, he calls him a moron, and then he starts saying, Jesus Christ, in a swearing kind of way, what a shame Fauci has become. Because, look, if you are not on a crazy bender, as Fauci seems to be, why would you take offense to that? The senator's going, hey, my office isn't able to find this. All you got to say if you're Fauci is, you know what, my information's been available for a long time. I'll get one of my staff members to make sure that you're pointed in the right direction, Senator. This was an easy discussion, but Fauci is now so under the gun, pardon the phrase. Can I use that phrase or am I a domestic terrorist now? He is so under the gun. So backpedaling on every point to where he now just absolutely strikes out crazily at senators. This senator is a doctor and a senator. I would say in charge of Fauci's check, right? But yet you've got a situation now where even this runs off the rails. Anthony Fauci calls the Kansas senator, Roger Marshall, who's also a doctor, a moron. And then starts going, Jesus Christ, what kind of a deal is that from Fauci? He got caught on the open mic. But why is another member of Congress going, he's already told you the information available. Look, the senator's explaining that his office can't find the information. And you can say he's a moron, but you know what? What you're saying is the whole office of staff members and everybody else that do the research for the senator, he virtually called them all morons too. Right? I mean, he literally, okay, now I don't know where to find that information because then the senator wisely said, well, you know what? What about the public? Can they find it? Yes, it's available to the public too. So here's what I'm going to do on the break coming up here in a couple of minutes. I got 3 minutes. I'm going to have my producer do this too, Cameron. So it's going to be 6 minute, what do you call those, man minutes, man hour minutes? I don't know. Anyway, and we're going to see if we can find Fauci's financial disclosures, shall we? What if I type that into Google? See, Google should be very helpful, right? Google should put me right on it. Now, I don't know if things have changed. I don't know if Google's engine has been updated now that people are going to be searching for this. But I'm going to type in Anthony Fauci financial disclosures. Right? And let's see what I get with this here. I just typed that into Google there. Personal finance blog and tips times. That's not it. By Anthony Fauci on Amazon. What Dr. Fauci's disclosures reveal. This is Newsweek, though, so it's an article about it. It's not really the disclosures. What a moron. Fauci argues with Politico, talking about what we just mentioned. What do his financial disclosures reveal? That's not it. Fauci on hot mic calls Senator a moron. Again, moron stories. We keep hearing what his financial disclosures reveal, but every one of those are articles about. They're not really his disclosures. There's that truth versus false about his net worth. Opinion, a fight between. That's all I see. Let's see what Cameron can come up with. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Inflation steamrolled Americans in its fastest 12-month pace in nearly 40 years. The Consumer Price Index, an inflation gauge that measures costs across dozens of items, rose 7% in December from a year ago. President Biden, in a planned Atlanta, Georgia speech Tuesday, called on the United States Senate to remove the filibuster and allow a simple majority to pass voting legislation, taking away the state's rights to handle their own elections. Biden's bill would make sure all elections from now on are run by the folks in Washington, D.C.
I believe that the threat to our democracy is so grave that we must find a way to pass these voting rights bills. Debate them. Vote. Let the majority prevail. And if that bare minimum is blocked, we have no option but to change the Senate rules, including getting rid of the filibuster for this.
USA Radio News.
Get to Kohl's to save on beauty, essentials, and home. Take 20% off all beauty and fragrance during our Love Your Look beauty event. Pick up Nike hoodies for the family starting at $19.99. Save 50% on Carter's for baby. And Sonoma Goods for Life bath towels are only $8.99. Plus, take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. And get Kohl's cash this weekend at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid September 20th through 23rd with promo code SAVINGS. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Just in time for Mardi Gras, a mask mandate.
The city of New Orleans is reinstating a mask mandate just weeks before the start of Mardi Gras as a way of stopping a surge in COVID-19 cases. Health Director Jennifer Avenjo saying hospitalizations have risen by a factor of 7.
There are no beds. If you go to an emergency department right now, expect to wait 6, 10, 12 hours to be seen just to get back to the emergency department.
A city spokesman saying on Tuesday that the action is needed to allow parades to roll through the famed French Quarter. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A medevac helicopter carrying a child patient crash-landed outside Philadelphia Tuesday afternoon, but all four people on board are expected to survive in what officials called an absolute miracle. The crash took place roughly 1 p.m. near United Methodist Church in Delaware County on its way to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia from Maryland. Everyone was able to get out of the completely destroyed helicopter. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. So the only mistake the good senator from Kansas made was not having the backup for his statements, because he could have dressed Fauci down like nobody's business if he had the goods at his fingertips. He needs a little bit better research department. I concur with that, but Fauci's a liar. Yeah, and I got the information to double down and prove it to you. You ready? Took me a little bit of time to search this out. Whole thing took me like 5 minutes, as you heard me start on it right before the break, and I researched it over the break, and here's what I've got. Judicial Watch and the fiscal watchdog group called openbooks.com, they're suing to get records about Dr. Anthony Fauci's employment and professional finances, including royalty payments. Did you know that? Yeah. Now you say, well, Sam, what's up? When did this happen? Back in November 2021. So the senator has the right questioning, but the senator didn't have the right information. What the senator should have said when Fauci said, oh, my records are everywhere, you moron. Well, the senator should have fired back and said, you know, I don't mean to be moronic, Dr. Fauci, but here's the deal. Judicial Watch is suing you over this. Why is there a pending lawsuit from Judicial Watch and Open Books if your information is so readily available, sir? Can you answer that question for me? Because I'm kind of a moron, and I don't know really what the deal is with that. My moronic ignorance just doesn't allow me to process lawsuits over such issues by well-known organizations like Judicial Watch and Open Books. Why they'd be suing if the information is so readily available, and if I'm so moronic? There's been a lawsuit pending for a couple of months over this very topic, my friend, and I don't understand how that all works. I'm just too moronic to figure it out, but I need a guy like you with incredible, superior intelligence to explain this to me. And while you're explaining to me, you can explain to the good folks at Judicial Watch. You can also explain it to the fiscal watchdog group called openbooks.com, because they're suing to get records about your, quote, employment and your professional finances, including all your royalty payments. Why don't we talk a little bit more about royalty payments, Mr. Fauci? Do you receive royalty payments from any research, from any products, from any, and somebody needs to craft a list better than I can do on the fly, right? From any products, any licensed medications, any, do you receive ongoing royalties, and is your list of royalty payments included in your financial disclosures, sir? Yeah, let's talk about being a moron, Tony. Come on now. Let's do it, my friend. Guys like me lose patience with your ignorance and your disrespect, and you should be fired for treating senators like that in the first place. How dare you? And now let's talk about the Judicial Watch lawsuit a little bit more. I'm just such a moron, I can't let this go, doctor. You know what? I'm going to quit calling you doctor. I'm just going to call you Tony. Hey, Tony, I'm such a moron. I'm so ignorant. I kind of think what we need to do is call the folks at Judicial Watch and Open Books. Maybe we ought to call them. Maybe we ought to see if we could bring them to the stand, and they can ask questions. Let them be the morons for a change. Those morons over there, Judicial Watch, morons like me, we're kind of like the Hillary Clinton deplorables. Now we're deplorable morons, Tony. And I really need you to help me ferret out this confusion, because I'm so stupid. I just can't figure it out. But while we're at it, then, here's my recommendation to you, Tony. Why don't you double down and release your involvement in everything related to Corona? Yeah. November 10th, 2021 is when the article came out about this lawsuit. Yeah. Think about this. The lawsuit was filed by Judicial Watch and Open Books against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Right? In the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia on October 28th, in response to three Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIAs, if you will, that went unanswered by the National Institutes of Health, quote, the NIH, during the time period between January 28th, 2021 and September 2021. So now, Fauci, I'm so ignorant about these records, my friend, that Judicial Watch and Open Books have sued you and the National Institutes of Health over this because they made three FOIA requests to get the information that was not readily available, and you denied or failed to answer all of them. Below is the list of documents that the lawsuit is seeking. All employment contracts, modifications, and addendums since hiring, in other words, you're hiring as director of the National Institutes of Health. Daily calendar from 1-1-2019 to the present time. That would be January 28th. That was when they asked the request, right? After a phone call with the National Institutes of Health, we agreed to narrow our request and took his, quote, calendar request out. So not only has Judicial Watch and Open Books been asking for this information, not only have they been denied, they've been doing their best to refine this thing. We also need any confidentiality documents, conflict documents, and economic interest disclosure documents. We also need a, quote, current job description, any confidentiality agreements, conflict of interest documents, and economic interest disclosures and documents, if you will, pertaining to the calendar 2020 year to the present. These include but are not limited to, and then they have all these weird forms. OGE form, 270 and accompanying paperwork, a complete list slash database of all personal royalties, including but not limited to the current and former National Institutes of Health employees for work done while they were federally employed. This list should include, but not be limited to, the royalties, the recipient's name, the amount of the royalty, the reason for the royalty, and the date the royalty was made in the name of the entity paying the royalty. Yeah, here's what Adam, I don't know how to say this guy's name, Adam Andrzejewski, he's, I guess, with Open Books. He says, hey, no one's above the law, including Fauci. It should not take us a subpoena lawsuit to get the general details of his basic employment for We the People. We need to get documents at the executive level that federal bureaucrats are required by law to file. So, ladies and gentlemen, if Anthony Fauci is candid and this information is all available and the senator's just a moron, I ask you, in the court of public opinion, my fellow Americans, why on earth would Judicial Watch and Open Books be suing with a list? Why would the National Institutes of Health and Human Services, NIH, be on the phone trying to narrow the request? All they'd have to do is say, Judicial Watch, Open Books, you're misinformed. The information is right here. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not. Right? It's not available. The senator's right. Yeah. Anyway, it goes on with the whole details of this thing, folks. I'm on the Judicial Watch website right now. I'm looking at the press release that says Judicial Watch sues on behalf of OpenTheBooks.com for Fauci financial disclosures and records and royalties paid to NIH employees. Washington, D.C., Judicial Watch. Okay, I'm sitting right here. So if the senator is so ignorant, such a moron, and then swears, taking the Lord's name in vain, Fauci is a criminal, ladies and gentlemen. More evidence, more proof. I wish the senator had this information so he could have took Fauci to the woodshed on this sucker, don't you?
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
JudicialWatch.org/JW-SUS-NIH-Royalties/. That is the website, ladies and gentlemen, where the lawsuit details and press release from Judicial Watch resides. So I just wish this senator had the mojo and the information at his fingertips to really get after this with Tony. Whacked out, crazy, dishonest, disingenuous Tony. However, I think that Tony should be thrown in prison for this. He literally lied to Congress once again. Now you'd say, well, no, Sam, he didn't. And I guess you're right, because it all depends on what disclosures we're talking about. Are there disclosures out there that are very minimal in scope that Tony might have made available somewhere? Possibly. I can't find them. The Senate office for the good senator from Kansas cannot find them. But he's a moron because he, you know, whatever. But I can't find them either. Cameron couldn't find them either after 5-10 minutes of looking. So none of us can find it. And Judicial Watch and Open Books have sued Fauci over this very topic that the senator is called a moron over. Shame on Fauci, but this is the deal where Fauci is so disingenuous. Even if Fauci can claim that, oh, there's information about my finances there, I guarantee you when you go look at the list on the Judicial Watch website of the press release of the line items they're looking for, which means all the royalty payments, I guarantee you even if there are some documents available publicly about Fauci's situation, I am convinced that the details of those questions and those line items being sought in the lawsuit are not included. I can guarantee you that. So shame on Fauci. This is just another example to where he's literally offending senators and the public. He's literally dishonest in all of his dealings. And we need to turn this guy out of office. We need to publicly charge Anthony Fauci. Rand Paul's the only one with the guts to submit Anthony Fauci to be criminally charged for his dishonesty here. Shame on Fauci. And Fauci's just literally swearing, taking the Lord's name in vain on the stand. Fauci's literally calling people names. What has this turned into, ladies and gentlemen? They're saying that these senators are mischaracterizing things. I wish that the member of Judicial Watch was in the room with the senator, and the senator could have said, hold on, let's have Judicial Watch respond to the lawsuit on this very topic, Tony, okay? Anyway, I digress. I just get livid. Look, it took me all of 5 minutes to do the research on that story, to dig in and say, is the senator really a moron? Is this stuff readily available? No, it's not readily available. That isn't true. The Senate's office couldn't find that. I couldn't find it. But then I did find the lawsuit proving that this is harder to get and the information is not there in its entirety to the expectations of those who are even using open FOIA requests. That's a Freedom of Information Act request suggesting that we have a right to that information. And then that right to that information was being ignored by Tony. Shame on Fauci. What a dishonest thug. I'm telling you right now, if we let this guy stay in office another minute, shame on us, we the people. We should have 100 million Americans literally calling Congress and the Senate and the House and every representative everywhere saying, this guy's got to go. Everywhere, any senator, any congressman, any president or any member of their staffs go anywhere, we should say, hey, have you gotten rid of Fauci yet? This guy's a whack job. This guy's a nutcase. This guy's a crazy. That's not to mention the argument that went on yesterday between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci either. All right, I want to switch gears before the end of the hour. I got a cool story. This is from Dennis Prager. He does such a good job. He's got a lot of his videos everywhere and everything else, Dennis Prager. The headline says, every American needs to hear this speech. Amen to that. Here is the speech from Dennis Prager.
If every high school principal gave the following speech, America would be a much better place. To the students and faculty of our high school, I am your new principal and honored to be so. There is no greater calling than to teach young people. I would like to apprise you of some important changes coming to our school. First, this school will no longer honor race or ethnicity. I could not care less if you are black, brown, red, yellow, or white. I could not care less if your origins are African, European, Latin American, or Asian, or if your ancestors arrived here on the Mayflower or on slave ships. The only identity this school will recognize is your individual identity, your character, your scholarship, your humanity. And the only national identity this school will recognize is American. This is an American public school, and American public schools were created to make better Americans. If you wish to affirm here an ethnic or racial identity or a national identity other than American, you will have to attend another school. This includes after-school clubs. I will not authorize clubs that divide students based on identities such as race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or whatever else may become in vogue in our society. Those clubs cultivate narcissism, an unhealthy preoccupation with the self, while the purpose of education is to get you to think beyond yourself. The school's clubs will be based on interests and passions, clubs that transport you to the wonders and glories of art, music, astronomy, languages you do not already speak, and more. If the only extracurricular activities you can imagine being interested in are those based on ethnicity, race, or sexual identity, that means that little outside of yourself really interests you. Second, I do not care whether English is your native language. My only interest in terms of language is that you leave this school speaking and writing English as fluently as possible. The English language has united America's citizens for over 200 years, and it will unite us at this school. Furthermore, I would be remiss in my duty to ensure that you will be prepared to successfully compete in the job market if you leave this school without excellent English language skills. We will learn other languages here. It's deplorable that most Americans only speak English. But if you want classes taught in your native language rather than in English, this is not the right school for you. Third, because I regard learning as a sacred endeavor, everything in this school will reflect learning's elevated status. This means, among other things, that you and your teachers will dress accordingly. There will be a dress code at this school, and you will address all teachers by their title, not by their first name. They are your teachers, not your pals. Fourth, no obscene language will be tolerated anywhere on this school's property. By obscene language, I mean the words banned on radio and television, plus epithets such as the B word, even when addressed by one girl to another, or the N word, even when used by one black student to another. It is my intent that by the time you leave this school, You will be among the few your age to distinguish between the elevated and the degraded, the holy and the obscene. Fifth, we will end all self-esteem programs. In this school, self-esteem will be attained in only one way, the only way self-esteem can be attained, by earning it. One immediate consequence is that graduating classes will have one valedictorian, not eight. Sixth and last, I am reorienting the school toward academics and away from politics and propaganda. No more time will be devoted to racism, sexism, Islamophobia, homophobia, global warming, tobacco, or gender identity. No more classes will be devoted to condom wearing and teaching you to regard sexual relations as no more than a health issue. And there will be no more attempts to convince you that you are a victim because you are not white or male or heterosexual or Christian. This school will have failed if any of you graduate without considering him or herself inordinately lucky. Lucky to be alive and lucky to be an American. Now, please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country. As many of you do not know the words, your teachers will hand them out to you. I'm Dennis Prager.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. A great speech, in my opinion, from Dennis Prager. The reason there was a little bit of sound effects in the background, you heard some kind of weird little sound effects, that's because it's a video. And I took the audio from the video. But if you want to see the whole video, all you got to do is go to PragerU and check that out. In my opinion, a very cool, very spot-on video highlighting, in my opinion, something very, very important. We have got to get a handle on our schools, right? We've really got to get a handle on that because the schools are off the rails. You know, last hour I was with Larry Pratt discussing this. They're literally calling those who want to rein in the schools terrorists. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not in any way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not in any way advocating for any violence. I'm not advocating for any type of activities that would be wrong in America. But I am advocating for fighting back against federal overreach. I'm absolutely, highly interested in solutions, ladies and gentlemen. But the problem is the government would call me a terrorist. Right? That's the problem that we're facing now. Is that, you know what? How do I advocate for the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth? How do I encourage accountability? Right? How do I do all these things but yet not end up on the, quote, terrorist watch list? Answer, I don't think it's possible. I sadly believe that I don't know that it's possible now, right? I don't think it's possible for me to do that. That means it's not possible for any of you either. That's a scary, scary, scary thought. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, last year America's doctors, nurses, and paramedics were all celebrated as frontline heroes battling a fearsome new pandemic. But today, under whacked out Joe Biden, tens of thousands of these same heroes are denounced as rebels, conspiracy theorists, extremists, and potential terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for our country, and we need to work hard to save America. Right? We got a lot of work ahead of us. Pray for our country. Do your very best to advocate for liberty. Do your very best to be peaceful and kind, but at the same time insistent that it's our country and they serve by our consent. We have a role to play with the checks and balances in America. Never forget it. Turn to God and go to work. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.